life is short.
I love you.
Love is forever.
Will you marry me?
Gracie grew up to become a full-blown hottie.
You're talking about my little girl, all right?
But you never know what the future holds. Until it hits.
It's a meteor shower.
This new one you're tracking. How big?
It's what we call a global killer. Nothing would survive, not even bacteria.
The United States government just asked us to save the world. Anybody want to say no?
You think we'll get hazard pay out of this?
They'll do it. They've made a few requests, though.
Such as?
Oscar here has got some outstanding parking tickets. Max would like you to bring back 8-track tapes. Not sure if that's going to work. Yeah, one more thing. None of them want to pay taxes again. Ever.
United States astronauts train for years. You have 12 days.
You stick that in me, I'm going to stab you in the heart with it.
On July 1st.
Tell me you've never let anybody down before.
I never quit yet. How's that?
Earth's darkest day.
How you feeling?
Good.
Considering I've never been this scared in my entire life.
Will be man's finest hour.
I'm marrying you.
You bet you are.
Bruce Willis. Billy Bob Thornton. Liv Tyler. Ben Affleck. Will Patton. Steve Buscemi.
Whoa! This is so much fun, it's freaky!
All the time in the world.
We have 18 minutes to zero barrier.
Is all they've got.
We all gotta die, right? I'm the guy who gets to do it saving the world.
Yeah! Do you think I'm gonna quit? We never quit!
Armageddon. A Jerry Bruckheimer production, directed by Michael Bay.
Welcome back to the movies. We are in it for the summer movies months. I am Ted Flint. As always, joined by Jake Voss, Sean Tess Festman. We are here to do Armageddon, 1998's highest grossing film of the year. This is our second consecutive week of Michael Bay. We talked about doing Transformers, but then we didn't want 3 hours of me just talking shit about Transformers and upsetting the two young kids that are on this podcast with me. Like I said, if you've never listened to Back to the Movie, we are part of the Tailgate Society. You can find us on the tailgatesociety.com. Find us on your podcast app of choice. Spotify, iHeart, iTunes. I don't fucking know, YouTube. I don't know anywhere on YouTube. Just those three places. Probably download us on RSS if you really want to try tracking us down. Not on Stitcher. Stitcher's about as dead as Owen Wilson in this movie. Didn't make it. Anyways, like I said, Back to the Movies is a podcast in which we revisit a movie that we have not seen in a hot minute. We are visiting 1998's Armageddon. This movie might be one of the most movies I've seen. It's up there. I've seen this movie a fucking lot. I was watching this movie at a hotel with my dad in Boston last year. And about 20 minutes of just like a random scene, he's like, can you stop quoting it? Can you just let them speak? Can you let the characters on the TV say the words? So I was literally like saying them in sync. But yeah. Before we start, we are going to spoil the shit out of this movie. In case you have never seen it, you probably should go see it. Pretty damn good. I have a wheel. I have fashioned a wheel. I'm going to spin it. The nice spinny thingy thing is a nuclear weapon, not an 8-foot nuke. Just like very not penis looking flapper since it's silver. So I guess it could be a robot dick. But anyways, I'm going to spin the wheel. And we're going to see who's going to spoil the movie. God, really, this story took a turn. I should stop. Like, can we just, like, someone just, like, have, like, a button to, like, mute me or something? Like, when I get,
don't I'm
like,
know why
you had to make it phallic, but.
Yeah, I mean, you have your own button to do that, I think.
I mean, I should have probably made it more pointy than rounded, and that's a me problem. Anyways, here we go. And it's been that was a quick one. Sometimes quick ones is all you need. It's okay. Not everyone has to be a winner. Anyways, it lands on Sean Tez. Sean, right. 90 seconds or less. Spoil the shit out of Michael Bay's 1998 Armageddon.
Yeah, so we've got basically a story of we have We have an asteroid the size of Texas heading for Earth. I don't know if you know this. They will tell you in the movie. The asteroid that took out all of the dinosaurs was about 6 miles wide. So this is a fucking problem. This is going to ruin the Earth, destroy everything. And then we get, we discover this through weird sky shit. Basically, asteroids accidentally destroying New York City. Nobody had seen them coming. Anyway, then we're on an oil rig.
It's a big damn sky.
It's a, it is. We can only cover 3% of the sky. It's a big damn sky. But we have Harry Stamper's oil rig. They're the best oil drillers on the planet. They drill the fuck out of oil and drill the fuck out of the earth. God damn it. And then we decide it is, there's only one way to get rid of this asteroid from bringing Armageddon onto Earth. And that's send Harry Stamper and his oil crew of just a star-studded athletes of morons to this asteroid. To drill into it, put a nuke into it, blow it up. Everything's easy peasy, but it's, you know, next day goes on. We have 18 days to do this. They send him up with like 6 days left. Tensions are high. Not everybody's getting along. Ben Affleck, by the way, is fucking Harry Stamper's daughter, played by Liv Tyler. It's a whole drama thing.
Animal crackers get discussed.
Yeah, and there's we have to stop at a Russian space station to get fuel. Peter Stormare steals the show.
Anytime you can bring him into a movie, you gotta bring him in.
But yeah, then we slingshot around the moon. We get onto the asteroid. We have to drill in. We can't drill in. We've overshot the landing zone. We're in an iron flat. We can't drill through this fucking iron. It's not iron. It's a metal we've never seen before. But we can't drill through it. We somehow still get to 800 feet. Ben Affleck gets from a... Ben Affleck's crew crashes. It's a... Oh my God, it's a nightmare. But he gets there through some thrusters and over a crevasse.
Gatling gun.
There's we need guns. So many people have guns. Too many people have guns, which means exactly one person has a gun. And then we drill down, and then Bruce Willis draws the short straw.
AJ draws the short straw.
No. Well, AJ draws the short straw. He has to stay behind to remote detonate this nuke because it's the trigger's all fucked up, but he has to save humanity. Bruce Willis pulls his air tube, shoves him back into the air vac, says, "Take care of my daughter for me. I've got this now. I'm saving humanity." And he gets to do a little one-on-one FaceTime with the world about how he loves all of the guys who did the shit they did on the asteroid. And he loves his daughter, and he trusts and he loves AJ. And then we play just an absolutely terrible Aerosmith song, and the whole movie ends.
All right, love your all right. hate for the song.
It's such a bad song.
I don't anything that song.
If it wasn't Aerosmith, I would probably feel different.
You think Liv Tyler gets the role of out her dad? The movie, like, what do you think got cast first? Like, what happened first? The song or her casting?
Well, that was what I was wondering, because it's one of like three Aerosmith songs in the movie. And I was kind of wondering that too. Was it like a, okay, we'll cast Liv Tyler, but we want these songs from Aerosmith? Or, yeah, I'm not sure exactly how
that had to guess, it was they approached Aerosmith for one song. And Steven Tyler just threw back this counter offer of, how about three songs and my daughter gets to play a role? And they were just like, I don't know.
She's fine in this movie too.
She's fine. She's good. She's mostly crying, and she does good at crying, I guess. I didn't look at what the budget for this movie was. I'm sure it was
a lot of money.
Pretty fucking high.
Yeah.
And I'm
guessing... But not enough they didn't have to get that BMW commercial in there when Liz and AJ are right. hanging out.
But I'm guessing the Aerosmith Liv Tyler budget part of it was pretty insignificant to everything.
I heard on another podcast that rewatches movies that definitely copied our podcast that numerous actors in this movie have come on the record since then basically being like, we wanted a paycheck. They offered us a shit ton of money and we were on. We're in. So like Billy Bob Thornton is on record being like, I got paid enough money that I couldn't say no. I think this might be my favorite Billy Bob Thornton movie. Friday Night Lights is there too.
I don't know
about that. Santa's fine.
I don't know about that.
We'll get into it. All right. So we always start with the questions. Thank you, Sean, for spoiling the shit out of this movie. Spoiler alert, Bruce Willis dies at the end, not the beginning. Unlike another famous movie that came out around the same time. That came out the same year, I think. Well, it came out the same year. When did Sixth Sense come out? Anyways, I think it's actually 99, year after. Either way, we always ask like what everyone's earliest memories of. I'm pretty sure I'm probably the only one of us that saw us in the theater. And we know that I'm like a noted spoiler phobe. I hate spoilers. I will stop watching trailers if I'm like maybe an interesting movie. This fucking movie got spoiled for me, like in the worst fucking way ever. So like I'm at like McDonald's with my dad. We're going to go watch it. 98. I'm what? Fucking 16, 15. Reading a fucking review in the newspaper. Before we're going to like legit a movie review in a newspaper, and it says, of course, they had to have Bruce Willis died in this movie to really make you like
who the suck hell you writes a review in a newspaper with a
like, right? I'm serious, I'm end not of the joking.
Movie spoiler.
So, like, I'm like, so the whole movie I'm watching this movie was like, maybe they're wrong, maybe the newspaper is wrong, and he doesn't die in the paper. Like, maybe because I'm at this moment,
maybe Roger Ebert doesn't know what he's talking about,
but yeah, I was so angry that I knew going into this film. That Harry dies and was just like waiting for it to like hit, like just waiting for like the anvil to drop. It's like, yeah. So that's my, I loved it in the theater. I had the background, I'm walking towards the space shuttle, my like screen, my wallpaper on my computer at home, my desktop that, you know, the dial up internet.
Yeah, so I can absolutely see that from you.
I mean, I'm a 16 year old. Fuck it. Let's move. Hit all the spots.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was, I would have been 8 when it came out. I'm just going to go ahead and say I didn't see it in theaters, but I think I saw it in some capacity within like a year of it being like out on, what at that point, probably VHS.
Yeah. The like, VHS had that fucking cool ass Armageddon like logo, like with the fire and shit beside it, like going up and down the spine.
I know I saw it at least early on of what movies were in the night. You know, it wasn't like 3 years, 4 years later. It wasn't 2002 when I was.
So like you guys are young enough like, that like you guys weren't there for like the Deep Impact. Armageddon shit. Like that summer, Deep Impact came out first.
Yeah.
And they were like fighting to see which one was first. And the older I get, the more I respect Deep Impact. Deep Impact's a lot deeper than Armageddon, obviously. More physiological and like accepting death.
Never seen
the comet's gonna hit there. It's really good. Elijah Wood's in it. He drives from the ocean to the Appalachian Mountains and on a motorbike in hours.
As you do.
That's possible.
I mean, some amount of hours, yes.
The Ozarks of the Appalachians, so the other side of the mountain.
Oh. Well, okay. Anyway.
We're not discussing that. Anyway.
Nope. Not going to break that down. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this movie is another one of those movies that hits that zone for me of like, I don't know, when it started being on TV, I watched it when I was 10 or whatever, I don't know, somewhere in there. And I hadn't actually watched it for quite a while, but obviously remember the some of the key points of the movie, but it was a good watch. It was definitely like just the way the movie opens is so just like Michael Bay, like
it's happened before. It will happen again.
We're not gonna, well, I mean, it's the dinosaur thing, and then it's into the giant meteor has like ran through a bunch of stuff that's pushed, like smaller things that hit the Earth. And
yeah, the Godzilla dig for no reason besides Godzilla was coming up that same summer. Anyone that like talk shit
and just cause like complete chaos and New York completely blows up from, I don't know. They say like, I don't remember
what basketball is in the size
basketball to Volkswagen size, yeah. Like stuff
that's apparently, somehow apparently they explode.
They explode and they also didn't burn up in the atmosphere on the way down. But yeah,
Iron Ferrite.
Yeah, it's.
I can't say that word. You know, I can't say that word.
Ferrous material is iron rich material.
I don't know what the fuck ferrous material is. Like the ferrous wheels?
We don't need to talk about it. Ferrous, it's stuff that I know because of
going iron they make ferrous wheels out of?
No.
It's like the Ferris Bueller. It's just, it's exciting, you know?
It's material composition stuff. I shouldn't even have said that. Yeah, but I mean, it's just peak Michael Bay, right? Like, we're just going to blow everything.
Dude knows how to blow shit up, man. Like, I hate that we lost a decade to him just making Transformers movies and they were all trash, except for the first one.
I was going
to
say, hang on now. Like, the first one is good entertainment.
And then the third one is good because they fucking blew up, like, I think at the time, the biggest explosion to include an actor in it in history is when Shia LaBeouf is like running with like the big explosion by the pyramids. Like, it is just a massive explosion that they're like on set for. And anyways, Michael Bay knows how to blow shit up. I want to talk about the beginning of this fucking movie. So, like you said, New York goes to shit and they're like, we need to find the oil driller because reasons. Harry finds AJ's just got done fucking his daughter, pulls out a shotgun. And the way they introduced the entirety of AJ of Harry's crew is by having them like interact with him as he's trying to kill AJ, but not really trying to kill AJ, but also trying to kill AJ. Like, he shoots that shotgun in that one room and like all the glass shoots like
explodes. He's gonna shoot you. No, he's not. And then he just blasts the window out and everything in the room.
You know, Rockhound, Steve Buscemi, like a very problematic character. Like, he's just like
very problematic, but man, he's got some moments in the movie.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Like, I mean, and that's to fully dive into all of them, but like I kept having like little moments for everybody. Like, it is kind of like I said, there's just a rock star cast in this and everybody gets their moments in it. And Steve Buscemi definitely has some of them. And I did, as I was watching today, I happened to pull up the trivia on Amazon of he took this role because he was tired of getting basically typecast as a scumbag sort of character. And after he got cast for the role, they wrote in all the scumbag shit for his role, which he obviously was not super thrilled about, but he's like, I guess I'll still do it.
I mean, drop enough money on him. So let's discuss the oil drillers. Seven of the eight of them are all people we know or recognize. And then there's that one dude that just never became anyone. So we have Owen Wilson, Michael Clark Duncan, Steve Buscemi. I can't think of the guy who plays Max right now. I should know his name. The bigger Ken dude.
Campbell.
What's his name?
Ken Hudson Campbell, yeah.
Okay. We all recognize him. The guy who plays Chick, which I learned tonight watching on closed caption, his name's not Chip. For decades, I thought his name was Chip.
I mean, it would have worked that way too, but
Will Patton, you know, they will not gain one more yard. They will love me some Will Patton. Titans.
One of my favorite
and then, actors. Ben Affleck. Yeah, Will Patton rules. And Ben Affleck. And then there's that eighth dude that's just legit a fucking nobody. The black haired guy that's just there. Freddie, I think his name is.
Yeah, he's like Russian or something, kind of. I don't know. Yeah, he's something. I don't know why he needed to be there.
I'm trying to think, like, in 1998, so 97, who can they cast in that role to, like, make it A-for? Like, did Luke Wilson get Bo Wilson's in there? I'm trying to, like, figure out who they a small-ass role of just, like, generic white dude that's in the rig.
How old's dies. Casey Affleck? I don't know. Like, what does it matter? Like, the guy doesn't do anything.
Just grab.
Yeah, if you're just looking for somebody to girls. Fill some shit, I.
Like, I just feel like they got like 7 out of 7, and they're like, and they fucked one. I understand Owen Wilson's not a person yet. Like, I don't even know if Michael Clark Duncan's a person yet when this movie happens. Like,
right,
you know, like, save Will Patton. So like, it's so good at like casting everybody, and then like, just one guy's just a Freddie Prinze Jr. too young. Get Freddie Prinze.
Yeah, Freddie probably
98 would have been. You know, sorry, I've completely already. When was the time that you guys watched this and you realized that was Owen Wilson? I bet it was a solid decade after it came out that I captured, like, oh shit.
I mean, I guess sort of going back into the, like, from when I first remember this movie, I haven't watched this movie in probably 20 years.
Oh shit. Okay.
I remember bits and pieces of this movie. Definitely going through it today, I forgot. I didn't know Owen Wilson was a part of this movie.
So you're a perfect example.
Vaguely remembered Michael Clark Duncan part of it. Like, to me, in my head, this movie was, it was Steve Buscemi, it was Billy Bob Thornton, Ben Affleck, Bruce Willis, and Peter Stormare. Like, those are the people to me that were in Armageddon. Like, as I watched it today, it was definitely a lot more of the, as they pop up and it's like, oh yeah, these are, I forgot there was more to these crews. And again, this is part of why in general, like, I think they, like I said, I think they all have their moments and those are great and all, but it just, I don't think this movie needs to be 2.5 hours long. So we probably could have cut a couple of them.
What are you cutting? What are you cutting from this fucking movie? I'm going to fight you right now. What are you cutting? What gets cut? The AJ.
I can tell you, we can cut at least 6 minutes from the hopping the canyon scene.
Oh no, Evel Knievel, come on.
Yeah, we can Evel Knievel it, but it doesn't need to be 15 minutes long.
Somehow gonna hit a fucking rock that's floating through space.
There's so much camera shaking takeoff, there's just so much we're in fucking space Michael Bay shit that you could cut probably a half hour of this movie just from camera shaking scenes.
Yeah, I think you could make the movie 2 hours fairly easily without really hurting it. As far as the Owen Wilson thing, I think it was probably, just looking at his IMDb list, I think it was probably around the time, like, Wedding Crashers Cars, which was 2005-06, was probably when I really became aware of, like, Owen Wilson as his own entity and
actor.
And so then probably after that, I don't know, like, in high school when I watched this movie, I was like, oh yeah, like, okay, Owen Wilson, I know that guy now, type of thing.
I'm doing the math on what you just said and it hurts me a little bit.
I'm sorry that the facts of time and my age hurt you so much.
So yeah, back to like Owen Wilson thing.
Even in that, like, what is, I guess, for you, what is
Michael Clark Duncan? This is Michael Clark's first movie. I looked that up just now. Not his first, but like first
Clark Duncan. I know Michael Clark Duncan from The Green Mile. I watched that movie probably way
younger. Which is a year after this.
I probably watched it way younger than I should have, but I just remember him because it's so, his role is so iconic.
And the Slam and Salmon. Of course.
Of course, Slam and Salmon. Talladega Nights. We lost him way too early. It fucking sucks. But like, yeah, like his, it's like we're like these are like almost. But this, what's his idea? Like, what did he do before this, Jake? Anything at all? Like, Bottle Rocket was before this.
He was Robin's date in The Cable Guy, and Anaconda. He was Gary Dixon in Anaconda.
Yeah, Anaconda. And
when did Bottle Rocket come out? Bottle Rocket was like
96. 96.
So like that's like, that's like, come on the map. So what? It's a Wes Anderson movie.
So, yeah, Wes Anderson I know who Wes Anderson is. He had basically, yeah, these little, very, very small supporting roles in 96 and 97 in Cable Guy and Anaconda.
Isn't Good Will Hunting 98? Like, what is good? Like, was this film before Good Will Hunting? I'd be curious, like, when Affleck was filming Good Will Hunting compared to this. Because it's 98, right? I'm almost certain.
I believe so. 97.
Yeah. So a year before. So, but like, yeah, like, oh, Max is fucking Mad TV. That's how I know that fucker. He's from Mad TV. Anyways, so like, yeah, who's
right? I didn't even watch that much or whatever Mad TV, but.
And then of course you have William Fincher as the fucking Willie Sharp, fucking also the guy in the beginning of Dark Knight. It's like an all timer. Like, he's gonna show up for 10 minutes of a movie. And you're like, all right, we're good now. So
Yeah, like you said earlier, the cast of this movie hit a bunch of people before they got really big, and there's a bunch of people that went on to do a lot of stuff after this.
Also, I can't remember, did I mention on the Rock podcast the president in this movie is also the president of The Rock?
So I believe
in the same cinematic universe.
I believe it
had presidency.
I believe it briefly got brought up, yeah.
Yes, you brought it up because you were trying to tell us how it was so cool that they were in the same universe or whatever, and I said I don't really care.
They are before the MCU. All right, fuck off. Anyways. I love a good, like, getting the team together. My one of the famous things, like, everyone knows now, like, is the Ben Affleck commentary track on this movie, which have you guys heard about this? Like, am I the only one here? Like, have you guys heard the Ben Affleck commentary track? So, like,
is this early on, like on the director commentary where he's talking with Michael Bay about why the fuck would they make oil drillers astronauts and not astronauts drillers?
And Michael Bay just tells him to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
He's like, why did we make him do that? And he's like, just railing on it. And Michael Bay just like flat tells him to shut the fuck up. But yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be a movie if they were astronauts and oil drillers, you know? Can we discuss the fact that AJ gets fired and somehow has a rusty sign for his first oil rig within, like, I assume 3 days? Like,
oh, he's
like,
been how many holding days on pass? To that. He's been, that's been in a back shed for months since years, he started, maybe. Since he started dating Liv Tyler 5 months ago, he's got that sign made. I'm losing my job at any fucking point. It's
banging the boss's daughter. I've been living on oil rigs my whole life. Harry Rockhan had to tell me how to put a tampon in. I didn't tell her. Whoa. Didn't tell her.
It was, he showed me, or he took me to get Tampax. He showed me how to use it. And he has to clarify, no, I didn't show her. I told her.
You know, like,
because that's a very big difference. So
right, kind of a big difference there. All right, let me get some more questions here. I lost my. I even made that whole thing. All right, so obviously, like you said, you guys all caught on TVD, DVD. Like, well, all right, we'll stay here. Was everyone's famous actor in a small role? Like, we're naming a bunch of them, but like, is there any that we missed? I mean, Eddie Griffin for some reason in the first.
I mean,
five minutes of this
movie. It's probably Owen Wilson, right?
I mean,
at the time, it's hanging with Mr. Cooper showing up for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
As a cab driver.
Oh.
Well, and that's, I mean, it is. It
there's a couple, like, at the very beginning.
Like, overall, for the part of the movie, like, I was going to say William Fichtner, but it is, like, I definitely had down out the gate. I'm just like, why the fuck is Eddie Griffin on a bike? Like, what? And he's just right.
And then he never comes back.
Hit by an asteroid. And then I had just in my notes, I go, oh shit, RIP Eddie Griffin. And then immediately changed it to, wait, fuck, I guess not. Him and his dog are fine, even though
Reggie survived.
Smoked by a fucking asteroid that went into the sewers of New York City. It did not kill them or affect them. Godzilla's dead.
Everything went kaboom except everybody's fine. Except for the big Hawaiian guy or whatever he is.
But yeah, I think that's, for me, it was Eddie Griffin was the one I was caught off guard in that opening scene. One I had down, like, just in my notes, I just, from not seeing this movie in forever, I did not
remember. 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, I watch this every summer with my kids. It's the last summer we got busy, but like, this is like a movie we all like sit down and watch together. Just,
I did not remember
it's been 20 years.
That the movie just opens with New York City getting absolutely peppered with asteroids and just wiping out cabs and cars and people and Godzillas and apparently not
just once
somehow.
Just once I want like a disaster movie to start with like, and Portland, Maine got wiped out. Holy shit. Or like just some random ass. Minneapolis and St. Paul ain't ever going to fucking come back from that goddamn nuclear disaster.
Maybe once Hallmark makes a love story disaster movie, it'll be
yeah.
Pacific Toronto. Northwest.
All right. So like one of my all time favorite parts of this movie is, like I said, I fucking love this movie. I could quote it. Is when like they have their demands. They go to like NASA and they're like, they have a list of demands. So-and-so has so many parking tickets. So-and-so wants to have these two women.
38 parking tickets. And oh, yeah. And all of them never want to pay taxes ever again.
Oh, my God. I love the, you guys can tell us who killed JFK, could you? And then, like, they, like, stare at him. And then they turn around. Like, there's, like, this
subtle nod. He just gives a little, yeah, the little glance back.
And, and then Billy Bob's, you know, line, like, of, yeah, we can make some of those things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Truman, this is the is this or is this the potato gun? Oh yeah, I watched it on AMC, so the potato gun line is definitely edited. It did not say rejects in 98.
Yes,
that definitely hasn't aged well. But he's like, you're putting the,
oh yeah, the Amazon,
the plan in a bunch of,
the Amazon rental has the whole quote in it.
I wondered about that because I almost switched over. Out. There's a dub before that too, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And when it happened, I was like, "Do I spend the $4 on Amazon to get the non-dubbed to make sure I get all of the stuff? Is it actually
worth it?" I saw like, that.
No, there can't be that many things to worry about, or not necessarily worry about. But
you're right. Yeah. It's when he's bitching about the drill. He's talking to the guys about the drill, and he says deleted something, and I'm like, "What the fuck did he say in that moment that like make it say deleted?"
But it's pretty obvious with these movies from around this time
they're going for.
when they dub it over.
But to be clear, I wouldn't trust us three of a potato gun either. Be frank.
I mean, I've had some family members that have made some high powered potato guns, then I would agree with that statement of I would also not trust me with a potato gun.
I resent that statement. I think I can be trusted with a potato gun, but anyway.
Like, you can trust me
maybe
for like,
you
can trust me for like 10 minutes, but then I'm gonna get cocky, and that's where
I think Jake by himself, he's trustful. I think listen, you and me on the shoot the gun at things is where it gets dicey.
Anyway,
you think you could kill a bird with a potato gun?
Yes.
Like, how big a bird do you think you take down with
a pretty big bird?
A decent size bird. Yeah.
About big bird,
what's a big bird? You hit an emu in the head, it's gonna kill an emu. So, like, how
I'm talking about Sesame Street, Big Bird.
Oh,
Sesame Street,
you could kidney shot Big Bird and bring him down pretty easily. It's
you build a potato, any of the potato guns I've been around, you could knock some stuff down. That's for sure.
K is for kidney, and if I get up, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
PSI is not super hard to do in a small PVC pipe. It's just
do you guys think you could handle the psychiatrist room that they fucking put these guys in there, all like little pointy things? I could.
I love how forget. Are you talking about when they're like evaluating them and
yeah,
like, have them in the room? Well, I mean it comes across as like they don't give everybody the same like torture or like tests or whatever.
Yeah,
they Rorschach test like three of them.
Right.
And then
and Chick gets like they literally just the just have the Newton's ladder or whatever.
Yeah. That's just making noise, which
right.
is just obviously meant to just drive him nuts because it's loud as fuck. They obviously turn up the volume on that, but Yeah, I don't know. It's obviously, and they do even say they, after they all fail every physical and psychological test, they're just like, these guys aren't even close to fit to do anything.
I don't even know how they survive the test.
Right. It's, we usually do 18 months of training for this, and you have, you're, you know, they have 6 days or whatever it is, and just, yeah, not great.
He's just like, so, well, can they physically survive to get there? That's all we need to know. Yeah,
can they survive the trip? And he's just like, I don't know how they survived the test. And it's just,
yeah,
not a great, but yeah, you get the, okay, the big 20th century rubber stamp, NASA approved, over the top. And
so, Sean, I think you could cut out at least 15 minutes of the training. But Michael Bay definitely wanted to play in that fucking big ass pool that no one's ever filmed in before. Ness pool. That apparently the water is so clear you can see 100 yards. So like,
yeah,
that wasn't getting cut. But that, if you could cut anything, like there's at least 15 minutes of training that could get cut.
Yeah, like, it's a lot of the training. Like they even show in. I mean, it's only for like 4 seconds, but it's obviously the training montage they do, like,
dude,
they even show everybody on treadmills side by side with ventilators hooked up to them. Just like, this doesn't matter, like that, even that 4 seconds doesn't need to be in there. Like, what are we doing?
Like, yeah, so like I was thinking about this, like, so I had to pause this halfway through the drive, and I paused it at 52 minutes into the movie, and they still were training. Like the training shit was still happening at 52 minutes into this movie.
Oh yeah,
I don't think they gave it a damn asteroid to an hour left. Like
which, I said, in my notes, we're 108 minutes, or we're an hour and 8 minutes into this movie, and we haven't even launched yet. We're not even in space.
All right, so, one thing about this movie, though, is I was telling my girlfriend, I've seen this movie so long, I'm pretty sure I can do verbatim what the plan is. So like, what their plan is. I mean, obviously, it doesn't work. So like, they're going to launch 2 teams in space. They're going to whip. They're hoping that the asteroid is going to go past the moon. All the shit's going to like get sucked to the moon. They're going to sneak in. Oh, forgot about the getting gas at the Russian guy. Hopefully we land on some soft ass iron shit. Drill 800 feet, launch it, leave. Am I missing any parts of that plan? No. Besides being the scariest environment known to Earth, as Owen Wilson says.
Is it, yeah.
Or the,
well, they were planning on, they somehow figured out compositions of areas of the asteroid, and they were planning on not landing on the super hard iron plate area.
Yeah, they found what they believe were the 2 softest spots on the backside of asteroid.
But you're the general.
How the fuck they figure that out? You riddle me that, fucking astronaut.
Well, they said they're like radar and shit. The asteroid named Dottie, by the way, because I went even after my wife, because she's a soul sucking bitch, which there is no, there is no escape.
It's fucker. She's a vicious life sucking bitch from which there's no escape.
There are a couple scenes of like additional like asteroid collisions with Earth that. Fuck it, Michael Bay is just gonna blow some more shit up that don't need to be there.
The Southeast Asia one is literally just thrown in there to blow shit up.
Unless I walked away, is the Paris one on the AMC cut when Paris gets smoked? Because Paris gets smoked late in this movie, and they literally.
Yeah, I think I just watched that. I have it replaying. I think that one just happened.
Okay, so like they literally, I've read articles because, like I said, my favorite movies I've seen. They literally added the Paris scene of getting destroyed because they thought the audience would be getting bored if not another asteroid hit the planet. Because the Paris scene is after they go to space.
It is. It's just over 2 hours in. It's on the AMC cut.
Yeah, it's as they're getting close to the whatever it is, zero barrier or whatever they call it. Like, but
imagine like you're living in Paris, like you're like the thing's almost destroyed, and then all of a sudden, nope. Fuck you, you're dead.
Well, and they show it's still like 4 asteroids that fly into Paris and just destroy Paris. And one of the little cutscenes is, so you know that it's still Paris. there's a giant crater in the middle of a city block. Yes.
Yep.
And the Arc de Triomphe is still standing. Yep. Like it has a little corner missing. Like it just, oh, nope, it's fine. Everything else is fucking leveled, but we had to show this so you know that it's still Paris.
Right.
And it's just, so that's a very, and again, like, for all of the things, yeah, you blew up a bunch of cities with CGI, and it does look pretty good.
Yeah.
Because it can't be that hard to level cities in CGI. It's easier than building cities.
In 1998,
I'm sure.
Might have been. 1998, well,
I,
might have been.
I mean, right, so like, Jurassic Park came out in 1994. Let's always have to remember this when it comes to computer effects. Was it
94 or 92? That's 94. Anyways, all right. I'm sure you're right. Done Jurassic Park yet? We should fucking do that. I don't think we have. Anyways, let's have some fun. We've been talking about this movie. Like I said, I fucking love this movie. I own it on Blu-ray. What is everyone's favorite quote? I have so many. I can run through 1,000.
Most of my notes are quotes, to be honest, and they're not. I don't know if there's any. I don't know if there's any quotes from this movie that I or any of my friend groups or anybody regularly used, but
I use one of the ex-wife all the time and it pisses her off, so that's fun.
Is it
so
about, Dottie?
I am notoriously late, as you two know. I am notoriously late a lot. So if she ever like tells me some version of like, you gotta make sure you get this done with the kids or whatever, and then she like follows up with like a second one like, I need you to make sure you get this done, I just send back a screenshot of Bruce Willis saying, I will hit that mark, I will hit 800 feet. Like, as like, I will make sure they're there on time, and she hates it every goddamn time.
I was going to say, I'm sure that goes
you need to make, well. You need to make sure they're there by 9 a.m. Are you sure you can get them there by 9 a.m.? And that's just Bruce Willis being like, I'll hit that mark. I'll make it there. And then I make an extra point to make sure I hit that mark, so that way she can't talk shit about me not hitting that mark. But like, oh man, like there's a gun in space scene. What's about the gun in space scene? Them fucking up the nuclear warhead once they get there. Well, no, wait, hang on, we're backing up.
Do you want to do quotes?
Sean, we're doing quotes, but also real quick, Sean, you had not seen this in 20 years.
Yeah.
Did you think the other space shuttle was like, did you know that the other space shuttle, they survived? Like, did you remember that part? Like when Independence goes down?
Yeah, so I did know in some capacity there was at least some survivors. So someone, they made the trek over. Because I did remember the Grand Canyon jump or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where they were going to find the other crew. So like I knew some people survived. I couldn't remember who. And like, even in, I guess, a little bit to backtrack on this, when it was, even when they meet up on the Russian space station, to me, in all of this, my favorite character is Peter Stormare. He's the one who has always been in my brain for this movie.
Pull the lever.
Of just,
this is the lever.
It just, you know, Russian components, American components, made in Taiwan.
I'll show you how we fix things in the Soviet Union. Yeah, if you do not move, I will move you. If you do not move, I will move you.
Like, so just, I thought there was part of when I was watching it today, when they're on and that fuel pod catches on fire, like obviously it's him and AJ caught up, locked out, and they're digging back through, you know, crawling back through ducts to get back there. There was part of me that it was just like, oh shit, does Peter Stormare actually die here? Like, is this just, was he so stuck in my brain, but he is only part of this movie for like 7 minutes?
I thought he died.
That would be there. Wild to me, but maybe that's what it was.
Oh,
I didn't remember him continuing through the rest of the movie.
Yeah. And then really? Obviously he, again, like I said, just the whole Russian components, American components, all made in Taiwan. Like, and as it goes on, like, he's not a,
is this big good role, or is this bad?
But but yeah, he survives. Obviously, like, him, AJ, Michael Clark Duncan are on that, you know, throw the thrusters, fair, jump over the Grand Canyon of the asteroid, fuck everything up, hit rocks.
I remembered for sure, obviously, that AJ survived, and so I remember the Grand Canyon jumping and the fact that they bring the other armadillo over and whatever as backup. I didn't remember all the specifics, but I definitely remembered, obviously, AJ surviving, so I knew there was something there.
AJ surviving obviously is a huge plot point. So like, I knew that for some reason in my head, I thought there was a point that like they had both armadillos drilling into a site at some point, which obviously isn't a thing because RIP Matt or whoever Max. He is, that Max just blown sky high.
Blown.
You know, that's peaceful death, I'm sure, though.
How many people does Steve Buscemi's character kill? Because doesn't he cause Max to die? Is that when he's shooting the gun that Max gets blown into space?
No, they just said a gas pocket that blows up that blows Max into space.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also,
space dementia.
I don't think he's... not a thing, by the way.
We don't need to drill into any of this, but there are lots of very questionable explosions, burning, fire...
The asteroid's fighting back.
Where
you heard Harry say at the end of the movie, he's like, the asteroid knows.
But there's not oxygen there.
No, but somehow in all of these little fires and pushbacks of
fires
gas,
and explosions need oxygen.
I mean,
but the
Russian
always
space
know
station
exactly what it is because they know what a nitrogen pocket is and a hydrogen pocket is. And they know how these explosions are happening.
So there are
Do you know that?
There are places in the movie where it's perfectly fine that there are explosions and fire and stuff that like it's not everywhere. But there's also lots of places where there is zero oxygen. And it's very rare to find things that can burn and blow up without oxygen.
Yeah.
That's not really how fire works in general. It's just
blue fire, though.
But
it's blue fire without oxygen.
That's sure.
Like I love the fucking Independence goes down. And they're like, did they make it? As a fucking body hits the goddamn windshield of the other spaceship, and he's
what a touch! What an absolute touch! Just a body smashing off the windshield.
What does fucking Willie Sharp say? Some version of like, you saw what you saw, or something like.
Because like Harry's saw like, they're gone. Yeah,
you saw it. They're gone, you know. All right. We're going to lean into the quotes because I want to talk about the best quotes, which is I think my favorite scene out there, like rewatching this again, it might be the fucking nuke scene when they're like, oh, yeah, 57 feet. And he's like, how about you stop questioning me? You got to figure this shit out. And he goes against a goddamn like little card and he's like, you should be at 200 feet. That whole sequence is just grade A. Like I know every time they're gonna dismantle the bomb, but like it gets me every fucking time. Like Harry pulls the wrench and Willie pulls out the gun and like the whole part. Like what are you guys like? You guys hadn't watched this in a while. Like, what was your whole thoughts on like that whole scene when he's like, "Why do you have a gun in space?"
I mean, for me, I definitely noted down the entire quote of, what are you doing with a gun in space? Because that's asinine behavior. Like there's not a reason to believe one in most capacities that it's going to work. And even if it does, you're just going to fuck up every situation you're in anyway. Like if you're in a pressurized cabin, you're going to unpressurize the cabin.
The gun will work fine. But the problem is the bullet's going to go through a bunch of shit and fucking all up.
Yeah, the bullet, that's what I mean. Is like, sure, it's going to fire, but it's going to fuck everything up that you're doing anyway. Like, so yeah, it's just what are you doing with a gun in space? And then also on top of
the whole, like going back to mission control, you have a Truman being like,
but also
you're gonna fuck this up, Prince
why
President,
do we have,
don't do it.
Why do we have fucking Gatling guns on the armadillos as well? Like
the A-10 Warthog Gatling gun on the front of the armadillo. it was something that I did not remember. And like, why is that a thing? Like,
did they think they were gonna run into space aliens,
man? gotta be glocked up for the fucking space pirates and shit.
But yeah,
Truman with Keith David. We haven't even brought Keith David as like the fucking general in this goddamn movie. Keith David, fuck up that guy.
Just a Truman, great dude for just yelling about shit, like
right
to yell about shit. I was just gonna say, Ted, I know you mentioned it earlier, but like, it is when Owen Wilson has, before they're going on, when they're even figuring out if they're gonna go on it, and just the, so like, what kind of environment are we gonna be in? And he's just like, you know, just giant rock, the sharpest rocks you've ever seen, all of this, you know, fires,
300 degrees in sunlight, negative 200 degrees,
200 degrees
in shadow,
and just okay, so scariest environment imaginable, that's all you gotta say,
all you had to say.
And when they're doing the G's around the moon, he's just like, this is normal, we're fine, and AJ's like, how do you know? And then like 2 months later, like, this is not normal, we're all gonna die. He's like, how about you shut up?
See, and that's where I doubled down on Peter Stormare's the best character, because he's just laughing through the whole thing. cut to him for a quick second, and he's just laughing.
I'll give you Lev, the Russian. I would take Willie Sharp, the captain of the goddamn Freedom, as my favorite character. Fucking love me some Willie Sharp.
I just really liked, I don't know that this is necessarily a quote, but I just really enjoyed like Michael Clark Duncan picking up the Leaving on a Jet Plane song. Just with his
on a jet
plane. Well, it's just perfect because of voice, how deep
his deep voice alone, to be the first person to kind of pick it up, and just, it doesn't sound good by any means. He's not on key, obviously, but it's just, and then a couple people, you know,
Buscemi and Max on.
Yeah, and then
Rock Count and Max,
and then you got the other guys just going like, Jesus Christ, can we just fucking, let's move.
No, and then the best part is like, Harry says some version of, this kid doesn't take anything seriously, and Chick's like, yeah, reminds me of someone I used to know.
Somebody I used to know.
What do we think about Chick going to see his kid, and she's like, you can't just fucking show up here, and he's like, I'm gonna go do something. The court
said he can't.
Right. Do you think it's just because he's a, I'm going to go with hopefully it's just because he's a bad gambler, right? Like, and not other fun reasons that he can't show up for a kid.
Yeah, I think.
Well, yeah, I'm assuming he
based
knows.
On the end and her showing back up. Out
on like, child support and stuff for years.
I would imagine he was just absent and like not supportive. And she's like, you need to just not be in our lives and need to stay away.
Or she's being like, I gotta hitch my fucking horse to this wagon. Like, it's my hero now. That's the meaner. I love
Chip. Boo. Fuck off. You cannot. That is not what you're going to apply to the end of this movie with the kid showing up with her.
Dude, I love the kid. I love when she's like, that's not Sheldon. That's your dad. Cannot
say that.
I get goosebumps with that part. I'm just being a dick. So back to the fucking nuclear weapon part. During that sequence, we have an all-time, so it's a PG-13 movie, all-time fuck drop. Like, obviously on the AMC kit, we got Freak, but like, Billy Bob dropping the fuck in this movie is an all-timer. And obviously, Jake, you didn't hear, but like, he literally goes, that's one fucking order you shouldn't follow. No, that's one order you shouldn't follow, and you fucking know it.
Oh, yeah, and yeah,
it's
okay.
So fucking good. Like, just like, don't. And then like, he like gives a phone to the guy, and he's like, stop it. And he's like,
30 seconds.
30 seconds of nuclear.
Self-detonate in 30 seconds, or remote detonate in 30 seconds, yeah. Or whatever it is. Yeah.
And then, of course, the whole part, like,
seemingly very fitting for, I don't know, how government works and not listening to the people that they actually probably should. And just,
I mean, anymore. But yes, Jake, you're right. And then the whole part, like, you swear in your daughter's life, you swear in my children's life that you'll hit that mark. That part's so fucking good. Like, Harry's like, I've never not hit a mark. I would hit 800 feet. And William Sharp's like, all right, then let's fucking disarm this fucking bomb. And you have Chick just sitting there, please, just please work. as they're fixing the bomb.
Yeah, I mean that little freak out in that conversation is, I mean, not to dive ahead into, like, I don't know that it is a Goosebumps moment, but it is probably pretty close to almost the climax, and at least for me, just like the most intense part of the movie, where it is they've had their differences, they're going their separate ways, and he screams out just sharp, yo, this clock started.
Yeah,
it's fucking running, dude. Like, what do we do? Because it's about to blow us all up.
And then he shows with a fucking gun. Like,
and it turns into the, yeah, we got to unload it. We're getting the fuck out of here. And yeah, he's like, no, I got two guys out there. And he's in sharp, you know, pulls. He goes, yeah, I got one out there too. I don't give two shits. We got to fucking go.
Right. Feel bad for that dude. He missed clearly in a goddamn asteroid, and then he dies. The other pilot.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Just RIP other guy. Gruber, I believe.
It is Gruber. You're right. Gruber? Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, it's that standoff, and then just figuring out how to disarm it, because it is just the
fucking Max, there's Max and Rock Allen showing up, and they're just like laughing. They're like, what the fuck is this?
There's a whole lot of this movie that is obviously just like, trust me. No, don't trust what you're being told. Trust me. And like, and if, okay, sure, fun.
All right. So, like I said, I love that part. I love the whole like, promise me on your daughter's life or whatever. And then, you know, they do the fucking nuke. They bounce out satellites. I love the whole part where like, they like had to do like the blocking thing. Like I said, I think my favorite quote might be, I can't say my favorite quote because it's the end of the movie is my favorite quote, but like Sean said, I definitely get goosebumps when William Sharp's just like, promise on your daughter's life, promise on my family's life that you'll hit that mark.
Yeah,
it's just so fucking good. Like, just so like,
the quotes that I marked down were almost exclusively comic relief in the movie. And yeah, as problematic as Steve Buscemi's character is.
Can you please stop writing the 9-foot nuclear weapon?
Get off the nuclear warhead. That's one of them that's just like, it's not funny, but it also is, because Buscemi's character is like riding the fucking bomb like it's a rodeo
when bowl. when he's all duct taped up the end. He's like, I really wish you trust me, guys. I can do this. Let me out. I'll fucking hit that button.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. We have the moment when they start drilling the asteroid, and Bruce Willis is just like, dig, dig, dig. Chew this iron bitch up. And it's just like the way he delivers it. I don't even know if it was like, I just like was like, okay, that's just like over the top, like what action movie stuff. It's, and it made me
right.
Grin.
There's definitely being a like, few moments that like they try and do, like they have those lines that they want to be like iconic lines. Like, I think even on, I think when the president does his speech at the end,
it's a good speech.
It's an okay speech, but I think they wanted it to be the Independence Day speech. Right. On
exactly.
Steroids.
That's what I thought.
And that's what they were going for, because they, you know what, he ends it with the God bless us all of humanity, or some shit like that. You know, and
I don't
like,
speak to you as a president of the United States. I speak to you as a messenger of humanity.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's just like, okay, you're just Independence Day knockoff at this point. And like, that's, I can see that. I think everybody who probably
can all be Bill Pullman. And,
well, yeah, I mean, he was the first to fight the aliens.
And yeah, we don't talk about the second one, but.
Never happened. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, for me, like you were saying, Jake, for the Steve Buscemi like kind of comic relief for is when they were taking off of just the, we're sitting on 4 million pounds of fuel, one nuclear weapon, and a thing that has 270,000 moving parts sold to the lowest bidder. How does that make you feel?
The thing about, like, we're talking about, like, the logistics of this movie. So, like, they crash land on the asteroid, and somehow fucking Rockhound knows immediately where they're at on the fucking asteroid the size of Texas. Well, he's like, would you like to know why your fucking radio is not working, Mr. Wizard? Because we're here. I'm like, how the fuck did he figure that out? Did he go out
look at the sky? That's a bit much. But, I mean, yeah. I mean, they set that up earlier. I mean, that's not realistic. But, they set it up earlier about him talking about his background and his schooling and what he did and whatever. And then he's like, I just do this because it's exciting or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, it's good money. It's a change of scenery. It is blah, blah. I get to do whatever I want. But there is also, in between, they have the little cut scene of, as the asteroid passed the moon, it started turning on all three axes, which they never planned for.
Which is right, but how the hell is Rockhound know where the fuck they are on the rock?
Right, so that's another thing of, that's going to absolutely fuck up where they're landing anyway. So it's weird that he just in his head knows where it is. And I will, once we get to when we blow this fucking thing up, that's going to fuck up the way this whole thing blows up anyway.
Fuck you. You don't get to talk about that. No.
I'm not. It's science, dude. They're rotating on different axes. You can't blow it up on the way you were planning to blow it up.
Fault line is gonna shoot everything off. They're gonna
not if it's rotating in a way you never thought it was gonna rotate.
Yeah,
it's about oil drillers being astronauts. Anyways, anything you realize that was from this movie that you did not realize was from this movie in rewatch? Besides numerous famous actors now.
I don't think so.
Unless there's something in those last 4 minutes when that shitty song was playing that I didn't watch.
I don't feel like there's really any gif-able moments. Like, there's no famous gifs.
For some reason, I thought there was like a, either during credits or kind of semi-post.
There's a wedding scene. Yeah, was that not on AMC?
No.
Like, they showed a wedding, like, of AJ and Liz Tyler's character.
Was it just them?
No, it's everybody that's still alive, because, like, okay, Ben Affleck.
I thought there was some kind of like post credits or whatever scene, and it just wasn't there.
So Ben Affleck, so I was like,
maybe I'm fucking crazy. I don't know.
Convinced Michael Bay that they need something more, and he filmed all that on like a handheld camera, basically. And like he did that, and they added on after like everything was done. Like he filmed, like he was a director for that scene. Obviously, he's in the scene, but like, he was the one that was in charge of like all of that. When they had like the big ass poster board photos of the dead people at the wedding, was it didn't make it, you know? But yeah,
no, I didn't have anything that came up in the movie that I was like, oh damn, I forgot that was from here. That was something that some famous or whatever that was from here.
Okay,
yeah, I didn't have anything. I mean, there was stuff I didn't remember from the movie, but not like pop culture relevant that's in the world. That
before we get to the end of this movie, is there anyone's favorite part that was not in the last 20 minutes of this movie? Because like once like AJ gets there with the new armadillo, it really kicks in the high gear.
I don't know if I would say it's the best part, but
favorite part.
I do really enjoy when kind of the montage of no, we're actually going to bring in the oil rig roughneck guys. And then they get to see the armadillo and they start just like tearing it apart and remodeling the whole thing.
What's this, an ice cream scoop? What did this cost you, $400?
It's one of those things that like I semi-relate to with my career path of like really smart people that don't actually know practical stuff doing things. Right. Yeah. And then you bring somebody in that actually knows the practical side and they go, no, what the fuck are you doing? You
Why
have
the
to,
fuck is
like,
this happening?
This needs to be this and this and this and this. And you that's see, just I mean, the, it, I just find that really, really entertaining. It's it.
Oh yeah. Cause what is it? Their first step when he walks in, he goes, start pulling out the, you know, the short
rubber. Well, even before then, when they show Harry his drill design that they stole and put together, let me guess, you're having this issue because you want to know why? Because that circuit's backwards and this and this and this are wrong. Yeah. And it's just, I think that shit's hilarious.
I didn't say you did a terrible job. I said you did a piss poor job putting this together.
Right. Yeah, I think that I don't necessarily know. I mean, that was a part that I kind of forgot about that is just applicably funny to my life.
Oh, yeah, for sure. When it comes to you can say stuff, you can write shit out on paper, but that doesn't make it work in the real world. It's just not how things go. Right. And yeah, them just walking in and just going, nope, this is all fucked.
What is this thing? The classic ice cream scoop. What'd that cost you? Like $400? Yeah, it's probably like $1,000 in reality, but
yeah, yeah. But just unloading shit. But yeah, just some of that stuff is just for sure. I mean, again, that goes into the 270,000 moving parts on a government contract to the lowest bidder. It's just like, who can sort of make stuff work? It's
right.
Make stuff work on paper without being practical, without somebody actually knowing what they're doing something about it. Yeah, I don't know if I had anything. I mean, it is obviously you get the little speech, you get the whole end of the movie.
I mean, the last, like, it's 15 minutes of the movie are just, like...
Oh, yeah, that's the shit that pulls at your heartstrings. The rest of it is just an action
And it's
movie,
it's damn near it's... all 15 minutes, too. It's, like, from the time that...
Oh, yeah.
That Harry goes out, and he's like, oh, I'll take him down. And then he just, like, AJ's, like, getting ready to leave and pulls the air tube, and he throws him back in there and gives him the patch for Truman... And, yeah. And then it kind of rolls through, you get a little bit, but then you have Harry's speech talking to his daughter. You have a little bit of relief, but then you have the on the runway with everybody meeting back up.
Yeah. Well, I think it hits a little harder of just like Harry's doing the speech into the camera, and where it's just, it obviously comes across that he doesn't know that he's being radioed in to his team, sort of thing.
Right. Yep.
Where he's talking like, hey, tell AJ this, tell these guys this, tell this person,
yeah, he doesn't
tell
know
Bear
that they're
this.
Hearing it.
And they do the little cuts to those guys, you know, kind of doing a little bit of a break and, you know, just smiling but cracking, you know, sort of thing. And and they do the rip, they take off, and he's just going through absolute fucking hell, getting blown the
yeah
fuck
and then he
up
gets
the
yeah
asteroid.
Then he's getting his ass beat basically because the asteroid's like, blowing up for some reason
because it doesn't want to die. The asteroid's fighting back, it knows the world's ending, so like it As it,
I
want, it has a conscious.
I wanted to wait till Ted was back because I did have this quote, and this is probably the cameo that I didn't realize 20 years ago when I watched this, but it was when AJ draws the short straw to blow up. He has to stay behind.
Yeah, all
right. So and he drops the line, well, we all gotta die, right? So I didn't know Joni Ernst was in the movie. but
well, you know,
it was nice of her to pop up.
She wouldn't go mess with the bomb. She was just like, God, figure it out. but yeah, everything now that I'm back, like everything post the poor Gruber dying to the end is just like
great line after great line after great line. So, like, they roll up there, and they're like, someone has to stay behind. Short straw. And, like, Harry's like, I'll fucking do it. And Chick's immediately like, well, I can't fucking live with that. So you're not going to do that shit. And then Liv is like, the Russians are like, I'll be a coward. You can't fucking pull this shit.
I'm not going home letting somebody else be the hero.
Yeah. You know, and then of course, like, I love Liv's like response. Like, I use it all the time in a shitty ass Russian accent. It's like, is this good? Is this bad? And I just pulled the wire, you know? And then of course, you know, like, AJ gets it, because of course he fucking does. And Harry can't just like convince him not to do it. He has to like pull the dick move where he like pulls the oxygen tube.
Forces him, yep.
And then on top of that, he has to do the shit where he pulls his goddamn mission patch off. He's like, give this to Truman. Make sure Truman gets this. Like, just like, Harry's just like gonna go out as just like the most like alpha male motherfucker in the world before that became a terrible fucking thing anymore, it seems like. As like, he's going to save the world. He's going to make sure Truman gets the patch. He's going to make sure his daughter's fiance survives. And he's just going to go, like Sean was saying, after the asteroid just flat out. And then he drops a line to fucking Sharp. He's like, I will blow this fucking thing up if you're still here. Like, you need to fucking leave. I don't give a shit if your spaceship's still here. I'll hit that button.
Which I love. I love the fact. I mean, he obviously doesn't know what's going on, but it's like, if they could leave, do you not think that they would be leaving right now?
Yeah. They're not waiting for you. Like,
and then, like, you know, like,
they cut to Steve Buscemi, and they just, we're staying. What are we doing?
I had a good spot picked out there.
Yeah, they had a good spot picked out there.
And then, like, they take off, and, like, just two all-timers, like, Harry's out there fighting the universe, and Chick is like, he's like, and like, Sharp's like, we have 1 minute. We have to go back. We got to go back. And Chick's like, just give him one more minute. If one more minute, they fail. And he's like, no, we have to go back. He's like, give him one more minute. And then AJ rolls in. Harry doesn't know how to fail. Like, just like, okay, we're just going to keep going.
And I also had in my notes, like, even if you're, they're, what, 20, 30 seconds into their flight,
but they're not going back.
You don't have a minute to turn around, get back there, land, find the detonator, blow this thing up.
Like, something that you already mentioned is spinning on three dimensions. And it's the size of Texas. So it's not like,
yeah, yeah, you can't, it's not just a flat ground that's just stationary that you can fly back, you know, landing gear down and find. And
if the internet hasn't taught me anything, is the fact that it takes like 18 hours to drive around across Texas. So we're not going to come on the fact that small AJ was able to get there in
26 miles.
Oh, did they say that?
Well, they landed off of their target by 26 miles.
Yeah.
But that's the one we that actually landed where it was
the one that crashed. The one that crash landed, they referenced that, yeah, it basically landed where it was supposed to, and so they're 26 miles away from,
which was, I think originally they say was supposed to be what, like 800 yards away from the other one. Like, they're supposed
this
to
is
land
NASA, we do everything yards twice. Away.
Yeah, which again, it's me. Okay,
it's for you, Gracie. Harry hits the button. The whole part, I mean, like, everyone like cries when he talks to Grace, and that doesn't get me. Like, it's either Captain Willie Fincher being like, you hit that mark. I don't cry at that point, but like, that almost gets me. It's your Chick being like, give him a minute. And then, of course, they land, and everyone's like happy, and fucking Willie Sharp rolls up to Grace and AJ, and he's like, permission to shake the hand of the daughter of the bravest man I've ever met. And that's like,
buddy,
I've
got problems as soon as he like pulls Affleck's air tube and shoves him back in the elevator thing. Like, from there on, what? I'm like, oh yeah, dude.
Why? How? All right, go for it.
That doesn't get you emotional at all. That he just,
I thought you meant you were bitching. Okay.
No. Like, from there on, it's like the last 15 minutes of the movie. From that point on, the rest of the movie, like, I got problems, man. Like, I'm just like, try I mean, not that's to where, use it for most of that.
That's time. Where I was watching and for I will say about 2 minutes in the bar, I had to hold it together.
Can you not hook up a fucking HDMI cord to that damn TV there? Like, come on.
We watched
Bring
too
a
much,
fire stick. Bring
we watched too much Price to is Right. We can't. It's definitely, yeah. Once he pulls that cord and he shoves AJ back into that tube,
also,
and he just
I have a job is, to do. It's and he has to take care of my daughter now. Like,
it's not even like for there's a lot of times you can dog Ben Affleck in roles for not.
Dude, that's like by far the
for
best
not
emotional act.
For not giving much, yeah. But when he's as that tube is going up and he's crouching down, and he's pounding on that fucking glass. That if that doesn't get you, man, you're not a fucking human being.
It's
like,
my
that
job.
Is,
it's my job to do, and your job is to take care of my daughter now. Like that's solid shit.
And then yeah, like I said, it's right after that when Harry's giving his speech about here's what these people mean to me, but he doesn't know those people can hear him, and they're slightly smiling.
Man, Bear doesn't get a call out. Why does Bear not get a call out? Everyone else gets a call out in that goddamn that's still alive, but Bear. I guess Rockhound also doesn't get a call out, but Rockhound also
he's got space dementia. He'd never know anyway. yeah, I don't. In all of that,
either
I don't
way,
know
sorry.
How he
it's
survives
so good.
The ride home. Duct tape into a fucking seat.
Joey J, he's always like a son to me. That shit's tough. Like, that shit's tough. Man, yeah, like, Gracie, I gotta break that promise. That shit's also tough, you know? But, man, Colonel Willie Sharp here. Want to shake the hand of Bray, and then like they like zoom up to the goddamn airplanes doing the man behind thing, or whatever the hell it is, the symbol like when the airplane peels off.
Yeah, the peel
that
off.
Kills me every goddamn time. And then Rockhound gets to hang out with Molly Mounds, so good for him.
Dude, you want to know?
It's her name. It's her fucking name.
You want to know actually what I didn't remember, and we've referenced it already, but I didn't remember, and I'm already like. Emotional watching the end of this movie. I forgot that the mom showed up with Chick's kid and the kid like runs out from behind the truck and I was like, oh my god, like just
the special
just demolish me. Yeah,
no, it's definitely like I said, Willie Sharp gets me
I get that. I just don't feel like that kid would come around that quick to that being his dad. No, I mean
So, therapy is a working thing, you know. And then the song hits. There's my song. And this is where I let Sean rant about for 5 minutes when we end the podcast.
I don't want to rant about it. It's just a dog shit song.
I don't think Sean should rant about the song for the end of the podcast. I think I have a singular quote
into the notes
that we have not referenced.
It's an okay song that should have been done by a different band.
You're making a mistake and you fucking know it.
God, such a good fuck you in this.
So,
this is a great fuck.
Should have been done by Third Eye Blind.
Also, we're not talking about Jason Patrick showing up in this fucking movie for all of 30 seconds. Sorry. Jason Isaac. Saw his fake dick and his White Lotus season. Anyway, Jake, go ahead.
When Harry is shut up. When Harry is chasing AJ around the oil rig. I think it's Rockhound who says something about, you know, this is getting too serious or like that's illegal. Or I don't remember exactly what he says to prompt it.
Rockhound gives him a, hey, you know, this is illegal, right? There is something.
And Harry's line is, I'm temporarily insane, Rock. It's all right. Just like clean.
Or
like,
he says,
just like, I'm temporarily insane right now. If I kill him, it's fine.
You're gonna hurt that man. Oh no, remember old what's his name? He had one hand. He worked on.
I'll just shoot him in the foot. Yeah, you remember him? He only had one hand. He was fine.
He wasn't any good. Yeah, but he wasn't very good.
Wasn't any good.
Or Bear gets in front of him. He's like, "Get the hell out of my way, Bear! Oh, I'm just
trying to
give
my man
some time."
I had so like, from the very opening scene of it, We have Pete, who's in space doing a little spacewalk, fixing some shit on the outside that Truman's talking to. And then obviously all of that shit blows up. But they say something to Truman, says something to him, just like, hey, man, I'm looking at your meds. Your heart rate's a little high. I think you just need to calm down a little bit. I think if I'm in space by myself, having a little bit of a freak out, a guy in Houston going, hey, maybe calm down a little bit, isn't going to fucking help my situation. I think that's just going to make my heart rate go a little higher. And then I also
the clock of that 9-foot nuclear weapon started ticking. That's a great fucking just like deadpan line.
I also had like, this is very much an America propaganda movie, because naming the ships Independence and Freedom is,
dude, like this. I was talking to their girlfriend about how like this might be one of the most, like,
why is it not like Humanity or something like that? And just, but
we went it's also and Freedom. It's also apparently the U.S. is the one that has to solve
the everything. Only people.
Other than refueling at the Russian space station,
all the montages I get, from the 1960s somehow, like the montage of like the U.S. is like by an old truck, an old schoolhouse. And
I do get like this is all before we did International Space Station and all of these countries actually working together on space stuff. But like, even in Independence,
told you not to touch something.
There's references to how all of the, you know, militaries across the world are working together with information. Like this one was just strictly NASA in America, and these oil drillers are the only thing that can fix this fucking problem.
Right. Other than the needed
meet this one Russian cosmonaut right. in the middle of space who's been up there for 18 months by himself.
It's a very like, yeah, 30 years ago thing how the movie was set up.
That movie's so good. I mean, I'm sorry you guys took 20 years off between watches, but man, I fucking love this movie.
I don't think mine was 20 years. I think I was probably more in the 10, between 10 and 15 range, to be honest, but at least actually sitting down and watching the whole movie. But it's still, yeah, it's great. It's worth the 2.5 hours.
You should also check out Deep Impact. Also very good. If you want to watch a different skew on this, we need more disaster movies like this. Like, we need more movies like this.
It's like, just too on the nose anymore, I think.
Too many fucking MCU movies. I'm an MCU fan. Like, too many superhero movies and shit. Just give me like a standalone blockbuster, which hopefully F1 is, but I've also seen some shitty F1 reviews, which suck. So, anyways. I'll hit that mark.
I have one other quote that I want to throw in, which was just before they jumped the little Grand Canyon. And Ben Affleck, AJ, gives him the ever heard of the Evel Knievel.
How many times do you think you've mentioned the Grand Canyon jump on this fucking podcast?
Seven? It's probably four. But Peter Stormare hits him back with the, I had never seen Star Wars. And just, again, just delightful delivery. Peter Stormare should have won an Oscar for this. At least a Russian Oscar. I don't know if there's Russian Oscars, but he should have won a Russian Oscar.
Dude, he's so good. Like, whenever he shows up in something, like, yeah, like, also it sucks that Bruce Willis got dementia and all that shit. So,
at least he didn't get space dementia, though. Could have been worse.
You know, you're not wrong. You're not wrong, and that's fine. I guess it's more I say something witty and we say goodbye and we figure out that we're going to do a Jurassic Park next. We just pencil that in now. Just
sorry for ruining your outro there on the space dementia comment.
I mean, had a bad memory, so it works out well. Is space dementia worse or better than regular dementia?
Better.
Well, I mean,
because I think
very space acting.
I think the space dementia would go away once you're back in a normal environment and not being stressed out of your mind and your and you can act.
I feel like dementia is not the right word to use when they're discussing space dementia.
I don't think so either, but
no, it's psychosis.
Woodley Sharp.
It's absolutely psychosis.
Right.
Which I also think I could pronounce that word.
Buscemi already has some of to start with, so.
Correct, yeah.
I'll make that mark. You swear in your daughter's life, my family's life, you'll hit that mark. Gosh, fucking. Yeah, he's the MVP of this movie. William Fincher fucking steals it. I'm telling you right now. Anyways, so next time I'll hit that mark. I won't be late for a podcast start ever, except every week we do this. I'm constantly late because I'm not Harry Stamper. We're like 17 minutes late tonight.
Solid 15 usually.
Yeah. So, all right, boys, till next time. Maybe we're going to go to Jurassic Park next week. Who fuck knows? We'll figure it out. Later.
Peace out. See you.